Kick this off. Thanks everyone for joining today. This is our first GIST Ask Me Anything session for the spring 2021 semester. We are joined today by Kareem Howard, who is gonna answer some questions that people submitted beforehand. And if anyone has any questions that they want to ask in the chat that they didn't submit beforehand, we're going to be looking at the chat to address those questions too. My name is Catherine Dubrec. Some of you have met me during our weekly Zooms, but I'm just here. I'm going to read the questions to Kareem and kind of like moderate, but I will turn it over to Kareem. So thanks for joining us.
Again, my name is Kareem Howard. Thanks again, everyone, for joining in today's Ask Me GIS questions. I'm excited to answer your questions. So let's hear them.
Awesome. So the first question we have is, what do your daily work tasks look like now that you are working in the field? And what does a typical work day look like?
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to start pre-COVID, because pre-COVID and after COVID, the workday looks a lot different. Pre-COVID, when I was in the office, workday would look like, you know, a typical workday. You get up, you go into the office, sit in traffic. And I was sitting in the office, and I worked at the time for Consolidated Edison of New York, which is a utility company. And I work in a construction management survey. So any time you see one of those, you know, surveyors in the street with a tripod and they're looking in the spy hole, they're pretty much surveying for underground utilities, subsurface utilities, electric, gas, and steam is what I predominantly map. I also map, you know, sewer water, drinking water, and telecommunications cables. Post-COVID, I do all of that remotely. I wake up, I don't sit in traffic anymore, which is a blessing. And I take care of requests, you know, as they come in. Most recently, I actually just started a new job with National Grid, mapping, again, utility networks. This is my second week with National Grid. Again, just to show you that there's a boatload of opportunity out there for GIS skill set in the work field.
Oh my God.
Dude.
Yeah, I was able to pull a job in the middle of COVID. I did the interview remotely. I accepted the job remotely. I went into the office to pick up the equipment, which is a laptop. As you see here, I have it here on the clock. And my role with National Grid right now is I request all of the permits, the street permits that are needed for all the jobs in the street. And so you would see, you know, posted up in your neighborhood. If a utility company is doing some work on your block, on your neighborhood, normally you'll see like signs posted, you know, there's a DOT project and they'll have a DOT number, a permit number, it'll tell you about the job. Information if you wanted to contact or get more information about the job, you see a contact number on there. And so that's what I do now. I will make those requests and I map them out for the company. And I'm doing it remotely, as I said. Why I left Con Ed, you might want to know. Because right now I want to be remote 100%. And that's what this opportunity presented itself to me. And so I jumped on it. And that's for different people. If some people like a more hands-on approach, me, I like taking the back seat. I like taking the backseat driver, you know, being in the shadows. And that's what this job really is.
That's awesome. Thanks, Kareem. Angela in the chat, she asked a similar question about your day-to-day, but also was wondering what made you interested in the GIS field.
That's a great question. Okay. So what made me interested in the GIS field is, Professor Little, I'll be honest. I had absolutely no idea about GIS when I first started over 10 years ago. I picked it up in MCC, like you all. I was a soccer student there, and I took Intro to GIS. That was the course at the time. And that was my first A in college. And again, I was already a sophomore at that time, so that was my first A. I was super excited. And Professor Little said that, listen, you seem pretty good at it. And I ended up taking his advice and I made it a major. I went to University of Buffalo and I majored in geography and I got a certificate in GIS. The same certificate you guys are getting at MCC. yeah, I did that at a four-year school. My day-to-day, as I said, I love making maps. I've been making maps for 10 years now, all different types of maps, but mostly, again, in the utility sector.
Another question that was submitted in advance is asking if you did any internships while you were attending MCC.
Any internships? That's a good question. I did not do any internships while at MCC or in college, period. I did try to, I applied to a few of them. I didn't get any luck with getting any of them. But, you know, if you do get an internship while in school, that's definitely going to be a plus, an advantage for you, getting that experience. But I wouldn't say that it's end all be all because, you know, there's lots of opportunity in the field, whether it's at that beginner level or in the, you know, advanced experience level.
There's also a question asking, what kinds of jobs can you do with GIST and how much experience do you need?
That's a great question. And so, yeah, the types of jobs you can do with GIST, that is in your imagination because there's so many jobs out there. There's spatial data in almost everything that we do. And once there's spatial data tied to it, you can map it. And so again, I've made my career choice in the utility sector, energy and power. But you can, you know, map that. You can map more environmental stuff. You can map, again, all different types of data. And that's the thing. Not every company or opportunity will be at the same, on the same page. What I mean by that is some organizations may be at the very beginning stage of their GIS aspirations. And so they may be looking for, you know, more entry level, you know, employees to come in to help, you know, teammates to help the project along. Or you may have other organizations that are farther along in their project and they're looking for more senior level role. And so that's what I'm saying. There's a wide, vast range of different experience levels that different organizations are asking for. And so to say, okay, you need to have 10 years experience or 5 years experience, it's not really like that because there's opportunities out there. My first job here in the States was, again, at National Grid in Long Island after Hurricane Sandy had hit. And at the time, they're only looking for, you know, 1 year experience. I'm an active user on LinkedIn. I look at different job opportunities. You know, I try to stay up to date with that. And they're always asking, you see, you know, a wide variety of range of 2 years experience, 1 year experience, 10 years experience, and, you know, in between or even more. And so I would definitely just keep an eye on that and look to see what they're asking for, not just experience, but experience in what. That would definitely be helpful going forward.
That's great advice. There's also, it's kind of a similar question, but another question was, can you get a decent GIST job with just a GIST certificate and an associate's in geography?
This is my opinion. I believe so. Yes, you can. At the end of the day, from what I've experienced, most employers, they have a job to do and they want to know if you can do the job. And the GIST certificate that that this program offers is providing with the skill set to do the job. And like I said, I went on to University of Buffalo to get the same certificate that is being offered at MCC today. And I'm not sure if that would have been the case had it been offered when I was there, if I would still go on. I'm not trying to, you know, deflect higher education, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a certificate, you know, that's really going to get you into the door, and the skill set, the knowledge. You know, they may ask, okay, I see you have a certificate and an associate's degree, but yeah, can you do this project? Can you show me how to, you know, make a shapefile? Can you extract data? Can you make you can do all the same thing at that level, at that university level. Hope I answered that question right.
Yeah, and just building on that real quick, I work at Eagle View, and there's a lot of jobs at Eagle View that say bachelor's degree is preferred. But if it doesn't say required in the job posting, I recommend everyone apply. If they just have the certificate or they have an associate's in geography, like Kareem said, as long as you can do the job, like make a shapefile or bring data into GIS, I don't think it should matter what your education is, even if you don't have a bachelor's. Definitely still apply to any job that you seem qualified for other than that one education line, because that's not the only thing they're looking for. So if you have the skill set and like personality to fit in with the company culture, definitely apply.
Absolutely. I just want to piggyback off of that, because when I applied for Con Ed, again, back in 2016, it was a 2-page job description, and there was one line at the very bottom that said GIS a plus. And because of that, I applied, right? And everything else didn't apply to me, but that one line said GIS a plus, and I applied and I got the job. It all depends on, you know, it's like, again, each organization at a different stage, you know, in their GIS system. And so we're just getting in at the right time and having that skill set, right? How do you apply what you know to different companies? How do you can bring that value? You know, and that's what I like to say. I'm a walking value book. You know, that's why, you know, I try to feed myself, you know, that, because I can see what's happening here and okay, well, how can we improve this? How can this be improved? You know, and that's pretty much what I do.
Definitely agree. We're going to switch into the chat real quick. And there's a question that is asking, what was your biggest project and how long did it take you to do it?
Okay, that's a very nice question. I like that question. So my biggest project, I would say, was a project where I was in Houston, Texas, where I worked for a company called Enterprise Products Partners. They are a midstream oil and gas company, meaning they don't own the oil or gas. They own all the pipelines to transport all the oil and gas. And so I was pretty much mapping the pipeline systems for this company. And at the time, when anybody had a map request, they would submit a map request, and then the end product deliverable would be a PDF, either a printed version of the map or just an electronic PDF would send. And so during the 2 years I was there, I was able to create an interactive map of the company assets. And so it cut down drastically how many maps we had to make. At the time, we were making about 10,000 maps a year. Between, again, not myself, it was four of us that was doing that, the department. But we were able to cut that down by providing an interactive map application where it uses a web app where users can go on and turn assets on and off and see some attribute data in there. And so that was, again, the biggest, and I believe that's my proudest moment so far in my career, because that was a great accomplishment and the company still uses it today.
That's awesome. It took me about
8 months. It was in a JavaScript code that was used for that.
That might tie into another question that asks, what is your most rewarding project you've worked on?
Yeah, that one was definitely up there. Another one I could share is just for the mere impact. It was after Hurricane Sandy hit Long Island. And I was actually my first job here in the States. And I was working, they hired 7 of us to map over the entire Long Island network. And that's from the substation all the way to the customer's house. And again, that was a humongous project. And that was another great project for me because it just showed me, you know, the value of the work that we were doing. These were people that were out of power due to a hurricane, and the company didn't have accurate data to tell them where these customers were and how they tied into the system. And so that was our job, was to remap, you know, the entire Long Island network. It took us over a year to do that, but that again was a rewarding job because I knew exactly the impact that was to the customers in the field.
Another question in the chat asks, how hard was it to find your first job?
Okay, that is a great question. So my first job was, again, I said at National Grid, that I believe that was 2013, if I'm not mistaken. And at the time, I just had my first child. And so I was panicking. You know, I was under pressure. I'm like, I got to find something. And I remember this like yesterday, I was applying to pretty much everything that I saw online. Again, and that's what Catherine, I agree with you. Once it said GIS, I was applying to it. I was making them tell me no. And that was everywhere. I'm from New York City, but I was applying all across the country. And it took, I would say, about 3 months, I would say. I started applying in right after college. So I was around June-ish. And I started working at National Grid, you know, I believe it was like October, you know, is when I started. So a few months and I was in there.
That's awesome. That's a quick turnaround.
It was a quick turnaround, yeah.
All because you applied with that last line item, which is great. And yeah, great advice to everyone. Just apply for everything. Make them tell you no. Don't tell yourself no.
Absolutely. Because again, you never know what, you know, the hiring manager is looking for. So a lot of times, again, I have been fortunate that, with exception for this role that I'm currently in at National Grid, I was pretty much, there was somebody already there and they were retiring. And so I was filling that retirement gap. And you're going to see a lot of that. A lot of that is still prevalent in the, you know, in the industry today, is people who've been doing this for a lot of years and they're retiring and they're looking for somebody to help, you know, step in and fill that void. And so most of my experience has been that. I've been applying and so I was able to learn, you know. So when I got there, I didn't know everything, obviously. And they were willing to train. You know, most of these companies are willing to train. If you have that right mindset and the right attitude, you know, that you want to learn, you're showing that you want to learn and you want to improve, most places will train you.
There's a related question also in the chat that asks, did you go straight into the workforce? Which I think you said you started applying in June and then you were hired by October.
Yeah, that's correct. So actually, yeah, it was, I didn't go straight into the workforce. I was in Dubai for a year. So that was a gap there. And that's where I have my son. And then I started working that following October. So it wasn't right after college. It was a year and then changed. I took a year off, explored the world, and met new people.
Great advice to take. Take a year off if you want to. Now's the time before you start working and having a family. And
yes, that's correct. I always said, I'm going to go back and do my master's. And I'm still, I haven't gone back yet, you know, because, you know, life definitely takes its toll. And you know, it's hard to get that time back. So, yeah, absolutely. I would encourage taking that year off if you need it, or just plowing away and continuing with it. I don't see, you know, a negative in either way, either approach, because you know, everybody moves at their own pace. Everybody definitely moves at their own pace. I remember graduating from college, university in Buffalo, and there were students, you know, way older than me, graduating from the same class, you know, and like I said, age is just a number. You can go out and you can definitely get it.
Mm-hmm. School will always be there if you decide to go back.
Absolutely.
There's another question in the chat that asks, how did you build confidence with GIS post-graduation?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. So my confidence really came from fulfilling the request. And so a typical request would come in, a map request, it would say like, again, this is from Houston, Texas. You'll say, I want to see, you know, a pipeline system on a map. This is for crews that are in the field. And they would say, okay, we're in this county and we know that there are these pipelines here, but they're not sure what pipelines are there. And so I would, you know, open up, you know, ArcMap, bring in the appropriate database, and then search through the database to see exactly, really just turning the layer on, as you guys know, and then the pipelines would show up, and then I would zoom into the county that's requested. And then I would pretty much take a snapshot of that county and then providing that data to the requester, you know, just hearing the feedback from them. Thank you, man, I appreciate the help. You know, you help cutting down, saving a lot of time when they're in the field looking and searching for things. Again, people always want to know where things are before they get there. And things are never going to be the same. Like things are, it's something, this, I'm in a building here today, but was this building here 50 years ago? Is it going to be here 50 years in the future? Things are always changing, you know? And so once things are always changing and it's never going to be the same, then there's always going to be something to map. And so once you can provide that map to someone, because again, people always want to know where things are before they get there, you know, you're going to provide that extra value to the end user.
What would you like to see GIS mapping used for that it hasn't been applied to yet? Or what would you like to see it used more frequently for?
That's a great question. I'm not really too sure. So what I would like to see it applied to more, I would definitely say I wish to see more GIS related maps and collaboration as it relates to, you know, inequality. I would definitely say that. Inequality, as we know, is prevalent a lot in the world and this country. And if we can use some of these tools and skill sets to bring more awareness to where those inequalities may be, and to shed light on it and to help bring some balance, if that's even possible, to what some of the challenges that we face as a society.
That's a great answer. And I definitely agree with you there. There's one last question. And then if anyone else has questions they wanna send into the chat or even ask like in person, I think would welcome that. The last question here is, what is your least favorite part about working in the GIS field?
Ooh, okay. Least favorite? Least favorite, I would say, again, I guess I love what I do. I really do. And so to say a least favorite thing, it'll be, I guess, when I'm in the office sometimes, it's just me improving my communication, really. I don't want to say it's the least favorite thing, because sometimes the requester would ask, you know, for a request, and then like, man, that's not possible. You know, you thinking about it, like, that's not possible. But being able to, you know, break down, communicate that the technical, you know, what we're dealing with is technical data. And you're not always talking with a technical client, you know, and so just bridging that gap with expectations and managing expectations is something that I'm still working on, because again, some people they give you a request today at 9 o'clock in the morning and they want a map back by 11 a.m. right away. And like, that's not possible. And so just managing some expectations is something that you have to continue to work on.
Was muted. I have a question for you, Kareem. I'm curious if your new role at Grid National, if you guys use Arc Pro or if National Grid is still using Arc Map and Arc Desktop.
Still using desktop. Definitely still using desktop. I haven't worked with any organization as yet that actually uses Pro. Even at Con Ed, we're using desktop. 10.3, still using the same as here at National Grid, 10.3. When I was in Houston, Texas, they were using desktop as well. They did use some bit of QGIS, not Pro. I do know that Con Ed is trying to incorporate enterprise GIS, but again, they're well off the mark for as far as, you know, again, they're just in the beginning stages of it, I should say. They're in the beginning stages of it, implementing that.
Yeah, same here at Eagle View. They're, I think we're on 10.6.
Yeah. But
they're leagues away from upgrading to Pro, but it'll be interesting.
We, like, leagues away.
Yeah.
Absolutely right about that. I'm not sure why, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. There's another question in the chat. This is a great question, I think. Do you do any continuing education or participate in any industry groups, like maybe any professional groups like GISP or things like that?
No, I'm not actually a part of any of those groups, but yes, I'm always trying to learn. And so I register myself for the ESRI conference every single year. I believe registration is open now. It's not a plug for ESRI, but that's something I do. And I do enjoy the mock courses that they have every now and again. Just getting, you know, because again, things are always changing. As I said, you're never gonna know everything in GIS. There's always gonna be something new you can brush up on. And so I try to stay abreast as much as I can.
Awesome. Well, that looks like all the questions right now. I guess this is one last call for any last minute questions if people are interested or if they got all the answers they were seeking. Going once, twice. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone who joined and everyone who sent in questions. These were great questions, and hopefully all these answers get you thinking about where GIS can take you and what you can do in the future in your own job search. Thanks, Kareem, so much for sharing your experience and answering all these questions.
And no problem at all. And just want to again to bring this to light again, for me, I love the fact that you can do this type of work anywhere and that it's needed everywhere. You know, it's not that you can just do it, but it's needed, you know. And so once it's needed, you're gonna have success in the field for sure. And so I want to encourage everyone to, you know, to get involved, you know, if this is your passion.
I agree. And there will be one other Ask Me Anything event, I believe, towards the end of April, maybe early May. So if you are interested, if you think of any other questions later on that you wanted to ask Kareem, but you thought of it too late, there will be one more session. It'll be with a different GIST alum. But keep those questions coming. And thanks again, Kareem, so much. This was really interesting. To hear your background and all your success.
No problem. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah. So I'm going to end the recording and then we'll see you guys all later.
Okay. Again, I'm on until 1:30. Today's my session day. So if anybody wants to stick around and ask me any more questions, I'll be here.
Awesome. Thank you.